PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
This episode of Cinema Crespediso, and we're doing a Crespediso Film School episode. Haven't done one of these in a while, and you know what? I'll tell you exactly what happened. I read an article today, this afternoon, that inspired me, that gave me an idea, and I want people to read it. But it's not enough to just post this stuff online. It's not enough to post it to a Facebook group so, three people can like it and we get a comment. Nope. I'm going to sit you down and I'm going to read you this stuff. That's how interested I am. And, you know, it's a film school. I'm putting this one under film school. So that way it's more of a, yeah, sit down, shut up and listen. It's only me here. Just me. Shout out to Juicy Cogburn, but it's just me tonight. And I got some stuff here, guys, as you can tell by the title of the episode, which you already downloaded. I don't know. Depending on the amount of traction this episode gets. Might get me on some sort of list. Might get Cinema Crespediso on a couple of lists. But welcome to a Crespediso Film School. All about.
I should have had this queued up ahead of time. That would have been fun. But I didn't because, you know, I'm not good at this.
Welcome to a bonus episode. All about the CIA, the Pentagon, and Hollywood. Oh, I did it too early. Oof, man. If Drew were here, he'd be shaking his head. So, that's right. Propaganda in American entertainment. Listeners of Cinema Crespediso know that I'm all about exposing the hypocrisies when possible in terms of the old liberal Hollywood bubble. And they do so much cause for, you know, a lot of work for causes and social change, et cetera, things I believe in and I'm all for. But then, their perception as the liberal media and liberal arts and those Hollywood blah, 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 they have their own problems, deep-seated, deep-rooted, that are the similar problems, if not the same, throughout all strata of socioeconomic, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I'm talking about. So one of the things that the entertainment makers, Hollywood over there, and you know Hollywood in a loose sense, when you say Hollywood, you're talking about producers, mostly producers, but directors, writers, the artists and businessmen and women agreeing to make these movies with help from the government, and then they make certain changes. They're allowing their, quote, visions to be compromised, if they even care to call them visions or compromises. So it's all about how the government uses these avenues of entertainment and turns them into avenues of propaganda. Doesn't that sound like fun?
I think so.
Here we go. Oof, nah, that's not good. This is going
very poorly.
This is why I'm not a teacher. If I was a teacher, I would have a soundboard hooked up to speakers, and I'd be like, 2 + 2 = what?
Bag!
Boy, I gotta get rid of this board. This is bad stuff. Totally serious, guys. Here we go. Crespediso Film School. Put on your learning caps. I don't know what that means. What that happened was, I was reading this article, and it was on Medium.com. And the headline grabbed me right away. I was like, this is exactly the kind of stuff that Cinema Crespediso is all about. The headline grabbed me. I paid to see a movie about singing. I got 90 minutes of Pentagon propaganda. First off, that's 2 full sentences. Not technically not a headline. But you know what? 2018, new day and age. We're throwing out a lot of old rules and it's cool. So that's your headline on Medium.com. I paid to see a movie about singing. I got 90 minutes of Pentagon propaganda. This is by Caitlin Johnstone. Shout out to Caitlin Johnstone for writing this. This is great stuff. I'm not going to straight up just read the whole thing verbatim, but I am going to summarize it for you for the most part. She does say that as a big fan of the first Pitch Perfect, which is a household favorite, that's tough. That's what made the movie popular. It appealed to a lot of people. So her husband, her kids. Loved the first one. Doesn't say much about the second film in this article, if nothing at all. But with the third one out, they finally had a chance to go see it together in a theater. They made a point of doing it. They were super excited for Pitch Perfect 3. Went there to have a good time. And then here's a direct quote. I wasn't expecting a masterpiece, but I also wasn't expecting to be blasted in the face with 90 minutes of blatant war propaganda from the United States Department of Defense, end quote. Guys, this is what I'm going to be talking about now. Hope you're ready for all this kind of stuff. If you're still on board, if you're still listening, good for you. Here we go. Do you guys remember Pitch Perfect 3 trailers? I assume so, because not many Vox Populi segments have included listener reviews of Pitch Perfect 3, I noticed. So if you remember the trailers, the whole premise of the movie is that the Bellas want to do one last go around doing their acapella thing, and they decide to do it on USO tours, and they go to several bases throughout Europe to entertain the troops. Bob Hope style. Where we go? I'm skipping. I'm going to come back to those paragraphs. A better podcast would edit all this out. But this isn't a better podcast. This is a true one. So the writer, Caitlin, says, indeed, the film looks like it was initially written to have taken place in a civilian setting. After many rewrites, managed to force itself onto U.S. military bases. She says after watching the movie that the involvement of the USO, the military, all that stuff had no bearing whatsoever on the story, on the plot, on the characters. It could have just been a tour. They could have just put the group together, found another reason to go on a tour. It did not have to do at all with the military. Okay. She writes here and then links to a YouTube video where she's getting this quote from, quote, sure enough, retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Thomas Lesniewski, who was involved with the production of the film, says that in order to make sure that the way the military is portrayed is done right, changes were made to the script of Pitch Perfect 3 after the film enlisted Department of Defense support. As far as the film in question is concerned, quote, the way the military is portrayed could not have been more propagandistic. This is according to the writer again. This is an example that she's using now to show the why she feels this was Pentagon propaganda. She says the heroines were constantly drooling over the handsome, sexy servicemen. They were nonstop saluting, flag waving, and patriotic thank you for your service lines. The lead casted an entire number dressed in camouflage. A lesbian character said she wanted to enlist, quote, now that they let gay people join, end quote. Servicemen were portrayed as charming heroes and protectors of women, and life on a military base was portrayed as a fun party where you get to go to awesome concerts and have a great time. You could not possibly pack more glorification of the U.S. war machine into a movie if you tried, end quote. So, yeah, she's taking her kids with her husband to see this movie that's supposed to be about a bunch of singing girls. And for the length of a comedy, she's getting a movie about how great the military is and how wonderful it is and how sexy everyone is. And maybe her kids sitting right there in the audience might consider that as a viable career. Think about it. Air Force Captain Meredith Kirchhoff, a public affairs officer at Dobbins Air Reserve Base, where the film was shot, and this is again linked to her video, so this is why she's saying, gushes over the movie for a way it, quote, humanizes the human resources used to power the American war machine. Interesting. U.S. Department of Defense was given a special thanks to line at the tail end of the credits of the movie. And then the writer goes on to quote, she wants to emphasize there was no discernible reason for the film to be set on military bases at all. She then writes, from top to bottom, a sequel to a popular movie about an all-female singing group was built to normalize the globe-spanning war machine that is closely approaching a $1 trillion budget and recruit teenage girls into its ranks to be used for slaughter and destruction. She also reiterates she loves Pitch Perfect. It's one of her favorite movies ever. But then when she came home and the kids were out of earshot, her and her husband started to angrily fume about what manipulative, disgusting, art-killing parasites people are. And apparently they have a podcast, because who doesn't? And their podcast has way more listeners than ours does at the moment, so good for them. Good for them. They don't need our help. But it's a good article, medium.com. If you want to read the whole thing and find that podcast, it's easy to find with that striking headline. Now, the reason I... those paragraphs I skipped earlier, the reason that I really was like, man, this is really interesting, because I'm going to go down a rabbit hole here for a second. I can do even more work. I'm going to actually follow this up with probably a more thorough episode in the future. But she links to this article that was posted last summer on a website called Zero Hedge. ZeroHedge.com. For those of you who don't know, I didn't know. I did some research before I wanted to trust what this article is, even though they're really linking to another website anyway, but still. What is Zero Hedge? Zero Hedge is a financial website, an independent financial website, trying to, they say, pull the veil away from politics and it's a weird website. It feels like a libertarian-led built website for financial analysts and independent investing and stuff like that. They have this whole, they're very... they're latching onto some of the wrong parts of Fight Club. Let's just say that. And I mean that literally. They use pseudonyms for their names. And one of those pseudonyms may be the lead guy. His name, he goes by Tyler Durden, straight up picture of Brad Pitt and everything. And on their main page is a link, not a link, but a quote to Fight Club. Both the book and the movie on a long enough timeline so right away for everyone drops a zero. I do love Fight Club, but... I do think they're latching on some of the wrong things. Anyway, so, but overall, it's a site that seems to be run mostly by donations, and it's not necessarily, I don't know, doesn't seem to be a fake news site. It's interesting. I may actually peruse it a little more myself. But I printed this out because paper, you know, fuck trees. Their article, documents expose how Hollywood promotes war on behalf of the Pentagon, CIA, and NSA, was published July of 2017. And it's actually a republish from, again, medium.com, authored by Tom Secker and Matthew Offord. But then initially, the work, Secker and Offord, I guess, they did the work under a group called Insurge Intelligence, claimed to be a crowd-funded investigative journalism project for People and Planet. Okay. But basically, these fellas, Secker and Alford, got a book. They got themselves a book, and this article drops a few, you know what this article is? It's almost like a, what do you call it? Paid programming. It's a teaser for the book. Read some of these things. Be enticed and then buy the book. Which, you know what, guys? Is it on paperback yet? I'm going to buy this book. The book is called National Security Cinema. And it is all about, you know, what we're talking about here. So I'm going to read you some choice bits from this article. And we're all going to learn a little something. And then just think to yourselves. I tried to bring this up. When was the last one? That Michael Douglas movie with the Maze Runner kid. Dylan O'Brien, they did that movie, American Assassin, and it had that CIA bent to it, and I was like, I think I may even sell the show right away. I bet you the CIA was involved in that stuff. There was a huge deal about how much involvement the CIA had with Zero Dark Thirty. We'll actually talk about some specifics of that in this article, but that's been kind of a more well-known thing in the last few years, because there's been like... actual inquiries into how much Mark Bowl and Catherine Bigelow, how much access they had. But just thinking about whenever you see a movie, we'll start with the Pentagon. When you ever see a movie involving a lot of military stuff, especially if you're using actual military hardware, know for sure that the Department of Defense is heavily involved in terms of like script approval down to what lines can be said by what characters. For some filmmakers, excuse me, that's good stuff. Tito's. For some filmmakers, they're happy to oblige. Peter Berg, lone survivor. What was the other? Battleship, used a lot of military stuff. And I think he did another military heavy movie. Michael Bay, even with his Transformers movies, heavily featuring the military. All of their movies are already, those men, Michael Bay and Peter Berg, express a lot of gratitude for the service and the armed services. I think they come from, they have military family members and stuff, which, you know, is a big reason for that. So when they make their movies, they're already seeking to make movies that show servicemen and women in a positive light. And I'm not saying anything wrong with the actual soldiers, the Navy, Marines, showing them positive. This is about the apparatus, the military industrial complex as a whole, right? Okay, but what happens is, so Michael Bay and Peter Berg want to show the men and women as being their positive. So the government's like, great, you want to then use our stuff? Well, it's going to go all the way up the line. You can't just show the people it's positive. It's got to include our government, the decisions that we're making, CIA, et cetera, et cetera. So let's get into some specifics here. Starting with Transformers. This is an example pulled from, I believe this example is pulled by the Zero Hedge people. John Voight in Transformers, or maybe this is from the Medium.com, folks, the articles. Yeah, this is probably from... What are these guys' names? Anyway. John Voight in Transformers, just after American troops have been attacked by a Decepticon, Pentagon Hollywood liaison Phil Strub, we'll be talking about him in a bit, inserted the line, bring him home. This, bring him home, granting the military a protective... paternalistic quality, when in reality the Department of Defense does quite the opposite. These tidbits are from 4,000 pages of documents released by the Pentagon and the CIA through a long Freedom of Information Act battle, because we're allowed to get these documents. We just have to file for them and then file for them, and then file for them, and keep doing it until they finally turn it over. Sometimes you got to go to court, and then they turn it over redacted and stuff like that. There are plenty of things they did not turn over. But essentially what had happened was, for a long time, we assumed that the CIA and the government had, even people looking into it as hard as they could, without getting these new 4,000 pages, had assumed that they had their fingers in some, in some pots, we could tell. But it wasn't that bad. According to these 4,000 new pages, the U.S. government has worked behind the scenes on over 800 major motion pictures and more than 1,000 TV titles. Did you guys hear that? 800 movies, 1,000 TV shows the government has directly worked on. 1984 is here. It took a while, but it's here. So again, Phil Strub. Talking about that, Phil Strub, S-T-R-U-B, there's no H in there, Strub, weird. This asshole had John Voight's character say, bring him home, when his troops were under attack, to make the people making the decisions to seem more caring. Because why would parents want to send their kids to work for these institutions, for the military, if they thought that, the generals, etc., making the decisions, didn't care about them? Why would they do that? Going back to the 90s. Is that part? No, that's later. Where is that? That's over here. That's a Vietnam second. We'll talk about Vietnam in a second. And then this is one of them... That's why I want to read this book. National Security Cinema, it says a similar influence is exerted over military-supported TV, which ranges from Hawaii Five-O, makes sense, to America's Got Talent, Oprah, Jay Leno, Cupcake Wars. What? Cupcake Wars. Documentaries, that makes more sense. The government can very easily shut down a documentary based on them if they provide no access to anyone. Very easy to shut that down. The CIA helped make an episode of The Top Chef. The Top Chef, that's not what the show is called. It's take two. The CIA Take three. The CIA even helped to make an episode of Top Chef that was hosted by Langley, featuring then CIA director Leon Panetta, played by James Gandolfini in Zero Dark Thirty. Panetta was shown as having to skip dessert to attend to vital business. Was this scene real, or was it a dramatic statement for the cameras? Isn't that shit crazy? Why would... Who... Okay, I bet you they approached the Top Chef people and were like, we want to work with you. Let's do this together. That smells like that. Because how else are you going to work a cooking show into government propaganda? Like, oh, they're so busy that they have to skip dessert to attend to our national security. Isn't that fucked up? When a writer or producer approaches the Pentagon and asks for access to military assets to help make their film, they have to submit their script to the Entertainment Liaison Office for vetting. The man with the final say is Phil Strub, the guy who had John Voight tell him to bring him home when they're getting all fucked up by what's his name? Soundscream or Ragnarok or Toodle Tits or whatever the Decepticon was called. I don't know. They all look the same. How far back does this go? Let me tell you. James Bond and the character Domino in the movie Thunderball. That's Sean Connery. They used a plane and Skyhook. They were rescued by plane and Skyhook. Remember the Skyhook that they used in The Dark Knight? They used a Skyhook in Thunderball. Loaned to them by a company called Intermountain Aviation. Okay, Intermountain Aviation. What is that? CIA front company. Guys, they're everywhere, the CIA. They're listening right now. How's it going, CIA people? First off, we want to say we understand that you think you're doing this for the greater good, but go fuck yourselves. Back to the show. Iron Man. Even Marvel had to put up with this. This was pre-Disney. What kind of deal does Disney have? Disney is such a gigantic machine now. Obviously, they have to have something going on with the military-industrial complex, right? All your art is suspect, and all your heroes are rotten. Remember that, people. On set at Edwards Air Force Base during the filming of Iron Man, Phil Strub got into an angry screaming match with director Jon Favreau. Now, the film's producers, Marvel producers, struck a deal with the Department of Defense, which includes the whole, they have to have their script vetted by them and approved, and they have to sign production assistance agreements. These are contracts between the production and the government, and so the higher ups make this decision. Jon Favreau is on set. He has his government approved script, but him and Robert Downey Jr. are all like, let's ad lib some stuff, baby. So, and this is according to Phil Strub. These are his words, apparently, written down somewhere that was then found in these government documents. Speaking of government documents, you gotta check out The Post. Steven Spielberg's The Post. On set at Edwards Air Force Base during filming of Iron Man, Strub and Jon Favreau got into an angry confrontation. Favreau wanted a military character to say the line, quote, "People would kill themselves for the opportunities I have." Strub objected. Favreau argued that the line should remain in the film, and according to Strub, quote, "He's getting redder and redder in the face, and I'm getting just as annoyed. It was pretty awkward." And then he said angrily, "Well, how about they'd walk over hot coals?" I said, "Fine." He was so surprised it was that easy, end quote. So Strub wanted the idea of suicide in any connection to the military gone. That's what's going on there. Because, you know, military suicide is it's a serious issue. The suicide rate among service members is higher than the national average. Did you know that? Did you? Did you know that more servicemen and women have died via suicide during the, quote, the modern war on terror that have died while actually at war. Did you know that? Going back to James Bond, the film Tomorrow Never Dies. This is getting to our little Vietnam section and how the government wants us to kind of forget about Vietnam. Oops. Guys, go see the post. In the movie Tomorrow Never Dies, and this has its own little twist in here too. James Bond's about to do a halo jump, the old high altitude, low opening, is that what it's called? Jump out of a military transport plane. They realize he's going to land in Vietnamese waters. In the original script, Bond's sidekick jokes, "You know what will happen? It will be a war. Maybe this time we'll win." His character is a CIA agent. This line was removed at the request of the Department of Defense. The whole idea of restarting a Vietnam War, and maybe this time we'll win, hence acknowledging a loss. Now this is where this part gets weird. That makes sense, right? That makes sense. This is where this gets weird. Phil Strub denied that there was any support for Tomorrow Never Dies. And this fellow named Lawrence Swede, considered the preeminent scholar in this field, he only listed the Department of Defense as unacknowledged cooperation for the movie Tomorrow Never Dies. However, remember when I mentioned production assistance agreements? Within those 4,000 pages of documents, there was a production assistance agreement between the producers and the Pentagon. So Strub, working for the Pentagon, is like, yo, we ain't work with them. This guy, Lawrence Swede, who did the research and looked, all he could find was, unacknowledged cooperation. That's all I got. And then these people get the documents, and within the documents, there's a signed contract right there that the CIA, the Pentagon made them sign. The production assistance agreement, and made them sign it. You want to work together? Here it is in paper. They had it the whole time. Fascinating stuff. So good. So good. You know who else had a problem with the Pentagon and Vietnam? The makers of the movie Hulk. Ang Lee's Hulk, 2003. Y'all try to forget about Hulk. I ain't gonna let you. A reference to the war, to the Vietnam War, was removed from the Hulk screenplay. And while the military is not credited at the end of the film, on IMDb or in the Department of Defense's own database, there's a dossier from the U.S. Marine Corps detailing their radical changes to the script. The Marines got their hands on the script before the movie even went into production, and they changed it all the way back then. This dossier, that's incredible that they all these people denied it. No, we have no record of this. And then so many pieces of paper got dumped out that they found this one. The dossier says they made the laboratory where the Hulk is accidentally created into a non-military facility. They also made the director of the lab ex-military, and they changed, this is the best part, they changed the code name of the military operation to capture the Hulk from Ranch Hand to Angry Man. Now, why does that matter? What's up with Ranch Hand? Guys, Ranch Hand is the name of a real military operation that happened when? During the Vietnam War. What? Ranch Hand specifically was when the U.S. Air Force dumped millions of gallons of pesticides and poisons onto the Vietnamese countryside, rendering millions of acres of farmland poisoned and infertile. So in this movie, here's another line. They also removed a bit of dialogue referring to, quote, all those boys, guinea pigs, dying from radiation and germ warfare, end quote. An apparent reference to covert military experiments on human subjects. So this movie about a person being bombarded by chemicals and changing into a monster, and then using the name of a military operation about dropping chemicals onto a country, all that got changed around. Illusions of it got changed. Ranch Hand became Angry Man because of Vietnam. Isn't that crazy? That's wild. That's crazy wild stuff. You guys remember that movie Act of Valor came out a few years ago? That's one of the ones where they're like, we want to make a movie that's rah rah. Let's go. This is how we do it. This is how we do it. This is how we do it. Right? That's Act of Valor. That's pretty much what Act of Valor is. However, there are other movies where they kind of, you know, don't want to necessarily show the apparatus and be in such a positive light, but they still need access to certain things, unless their movie ring hollow. So, for example, a film called Countermeasures was rejected by the military for several reasons, and the movie was never made. One of the reasons was the script included references to the Iran-Contra scandal. And Phil Strub said, quote, there's no need for us to remind the public of the Iran-Contra affair. I think there's almost a daily need to remind people of Iran-Contra, as well as many other things that our government is very complicit in. Very complicit. Very complicit. If not direct in. Oof, boy. I guess I love America just like everyone else loves America, quote. But I mean, come on, guys. You got to keep your eyes open. Be honest. Now, one of the cool things about America is I'm sure they're listening right now. You know them. I'm sure they're listening. I'm sure. You know what? I'm gonna change my voice.
I'm sure they're listening right now. And now they can't identify who I am, so it's a good thing I am now anonymous. But they are listening, and while it's scary, the reach that they have, and a lot of the Patriot Act-style rollbacks of now Attorney General Sessions, they can now check all our emails. They're allowed to now. Without a warrant, they can check all our emails in the name of national security. They're all listening. Now the big companies like Google, they just turn over the information. They give back doors to all the government agencies so they can check out all our stuff. And we're just letting them happen, and it's a bummer. It's very scary. All that being said, in other countries, if someone like me put it out there, saying the things that I was saying, within hours of it being released, doors and windows would be kicked in, and I would be black bagged and dragged out of here and thrown in a van and taken down to a work prison where I am just a number. They strip me of my name, I'm assigned a number, I break rocks until I die, then I'm thrown in a pit with thousands of other dissidents, set the fire, burn out, burn ashes. Scary, scary stuff that's happening in other places in the world. Not an exaggeration. But this is America, and I'm allowed to say this kind of stuff because we have a thing called the Constitution that's not perfect, but it's getting us somewhere, anyway.
All right. I feel safer now. Countermeasures didn't get made. You know, didn't get made a movie called Fields of Fire and something else called Top Gun 2. Now, Top Gun 2 is actually in pre-pro. Again, they keep trying and they're making a drone strike Top Gun 2. Maybe that was something where they're like, yeah, you gotta show our drone strike guys as being positive guys. That Eye in the Sky movie, that's the PTSD drone strike type of thing. That, go back and look at their uniforms. Who are they? What military are they with? And Helen Mirren's in it. It's not an American-made movie, I'll tell you that much. Let's see here. No, I gotta get that out of here. This guy, Louis Theroux, talking about TV. Louis Theroux makes documentaries. He wanted to make a documentary about Marine Corps recruitment. They said no. Oh, recruit training, excuse me. They said no. So it never got made. Because how you can make a documentary about recruit training if you're not allowed to document it? That's the Pentagon, the CIA. Let's talk about the CIA a little more specifically for a second here. The entertainment liaison is a dude named Chase Brandon. Now that I said his name, what's up, Chase? You listening? If you like the show and you're into entertainment in any way. You must be, because you're the entertainment officer. Welcome to Cinema Crespizo. Check it out. We got plenty of episodes. We're talking about movies, a lot of TV show stuff. And also, if you're lucky and you keep listening, you'll find plenty of anti-government stuff. I have a few labeled, This Machine Kills Fascists. You may enjoy those. Chase, check them out. Also, Chase Brandon, if you're interested, if you're listening, I hope you are listening, Chase Brandon, you want to come on my show and talk about how you wrote The Recruit? Because according to these documents, according to this paperwork that these people found, you, Chase Brandon, you wrote the movie The Recruit, not starring Al Pacino and Colin Farrell. No small feat, buddy. That's amazing. What happened was, The Recruit is a movie about CIA training at the farm. Oh, I should have had an effect in my voice. The original story treatment and early drafts of the screenplay were written by Chase Brandon. However, in the movie, he's only credited as the technical advisor. Apparently to cover up Chase. Why? Why would you want? Why wouldn't you want people to know that you, the CIA officer, the entertainment liaison department, wrote this movie about CIA recruitment and training? That's a weird thing, Chase. Come on my show and let's talk to people. It's fun. I'm in the Orlando area. I'm sure you know that by now. Probably looking at a file. A file? Who needs a file? You're probably looking at my Facebook. Christ almighty. Friend me on Facebook, guys. Unless you're a straight white dude. I'll be honest. If you sent me a friend request as a straight white dude and I haven't accepted it yet, it's most likely because I'm like, my Facebook feed is full of them. And I had enough of them. I had enough of people defending sexual molesterers and making fun of, quote, male feminists. I'm very confused by male feminists. I don't understand what that is. And et cetera, et cetera. So if you're a white dude, you're trying to be my friend on Facebook, try Twitter. Try Twitter. I am Chris Crespo on Twitter. But my Facebook is so toxic, I just want to delete it. We already mentioned Zero Dark Thirty. Screenwriter Mark Boal verbally shared his script with CIA officers. They removed the scene where a drunk CIA officer fires an AK-47 into the air from a rooftop in Islamabad. They also removed the use of dogs from torture scenes. Oof, grisly. So meanwhile, while they're kind of positioning as, that's interesting. So the one part of the government's like, oh, how come the Zero Dark Thirty makers had so much information? Where did they get this stuff from? What's wrong with, we bet you they're kind of raking them through the coals. In reality, the CIA was involved from the very beginning. And they're like, no, you gotta take this out, you gotta take that out. That's too true. You gotta remove that stuff. Yeah, we use dogs, but you can't have that in there. That's crazy. That's crazy. Hey, you know, you guys won awards, right? Made some money, so was it worth it? Was it worth it, Mark Boal? He ain't listening. Gurman's listening. Mark Boal's not listening. He's busy working, being successful. Alright, that's all part about the recruit. You still listening, Chase? Probably not. He probably shut it off by now. Especially since, I don't know, Chase, I'm still talking about you. Apparently, Chase Brandon, you can come on the show and explain why you changed a scene in Meet the Parents. Guys, remember Meet the Parents, directed by Jay Roach, starring Ben Stiller? In the movie Meet the Parents, for those who don't remember, the sad people who don't remember Meet the Parents, or its many sequels, Ben Stiller is father-in-law to be, played by Robert De Niro. He finds out he was CIA. He's retired. He finds out he was CIA. He stumbles upon his like secret man cave or whatever. In the original script, Ben Stiller finds CIA torture manuals on his father-in-law to be's desk. Chase, why'd you have that change to photos of Robert De Niro with the various dignitaries? Don't you know that the whole point of the movie is that Ben Stiller's character is scared of his father-in-law-to-be? He's scared of his fiancé's father. And then when he finds out that not only was his fiancé's father in the CIA, but now he has, like, great CIA torture techniques, that's the joke. That's what's funny about it. And you, why are you so up your butt about the CIA? They're like, no, there's no allusion to CIA torture whatsoever. It's instead show him with Photoshop pictures of Robert De Niro and Mandela. Nelson Mandela, right? And who else? Probably had a picture of him and Trump in there, didn't you? Goddamn Brandon, Chase Brandon. Is your name Chase Brandon or Brandon Chase? I forgot. What's your name? Dude, you got two first names. I'm liking you less and less, Brandon Chase. Chase Brandon. That makes no sense, buddy. It's not his fault. He inherited the job. Chase, it's not your fault, buddy. You inherited the job. You're just trying to make a buck. The CIA has been working against us via entertainment, going all the way back. First off, throughout the 40s and 50s, apparently, there's no mention of the CIA in any TV or movies. Did you know that? For two full decades. Not until North by Northwest in 1959 do we ever get any mention of the CIA in a movie, trying to pretend they don't even exist. The CIA, before they were the CIA, they were a group called OSS. Someone, a production company, wanted to make an OSS documentary. The CIA sabotaged that. What they did was, this is very CIA covert of them, they had a rival production company muscle the smaller company out of business, you know, out of the market, excuse me. They got them to pull out of making a documentary because, like, we're bigger, we're going to do it. We struck a deal with CBS Films, we're making it. The smaller company leaves, then the big company that the agency was behind pulled the plug on the documentary, on the CBS series. OSS series never gets made. How about that? How about that? Much less is known about the CIA and their involvement with Hollywoodland, but there's a little bit. For example, here's a Jerry Bruckheimer interview from 1998. They changed the script to the movie Enemy of the State, the Tony Scott movie with Gene Hackman and Will Smith. Real film lovers, like deep film lovers, if you know you're into this kind of stuff, either check it out if you haven't seen it or rewatch Francis Ford Coppola's The Conversation with Gene Hackman, and then watch Enemy of the State back to back, and it's like an unofficial sequel. Obviously not as good as The Conversation, but still Tony Scott. It's a fun movie. When it's the same character. He's playing the same character down to the rain jacket. It's fun. It's really cool. But according to Jerry Bruckheimer, the movie Enemy of the State, they changed the script at the NSA's request so that the wrongdoings were the actions of one bad apple at NSA as opposed to the entire agency. According to Bruckheimer, quote, "I think the NSA will be pleased. They certainly won't come out as bad as they could have. NSA's not the villain." And then the article goes on to point out, the people who are writing the book in the article, the idea of using cinema to pin the blame for problems on isolated rogue agents or bad apples, thus avoiding any notion of systemic, institutional, or criminal responsibility, is right out of the CIA DOD playbook. So congratulations, NSA. You're doing what you gotta do. So, guys, the Hollywood machine connected to the military-industrial complex. What it is really is Hollywood people being wooed by the idea of getting to use all this cool stuff. Like Michael Bay for the Transformers movies. His movies, they've featured military hardware that's never been seen by the public before. They granted him access to, like, prototype stuff and like, secret weapons. They're like, fine, well, yeah, you can use this plane. No one's ever seen this plane before. You can use it in your movie. It's going to be seen by everyone in the entire world. It's pretty wild. It's pretty wild stuff. So be very wary. Whenever you're watching anything, a movie, TV, anything at all, by anyone, any director, no one is above and beyond these kind of things or these kind of... Maybe the decisions are made above them. Think of Jon Favreau and Iron Man. He just wanted to make his movie. And there's a military connection to Tony Stark being an arms dealer. And there's military stuff in that movie. And they needed that stuff. The producer struck a deal. And now he finds this military asshole, this Phil Strub, on his set, telling him what his actors can and can't say. So be wary when you're watching stuff. You see CIA characters, you see, just imagine anytime you see the CIA or the military as a whole portrayed positively. For example, 12 strong, the declassified soldiers of the war horses of Afghanistan, or whatever the fuck it's called, assume a literally government vetted screenplay, 100% government approved production, making movies like that no better than the Chinese blockbuster propaganda films that they make over there. Where it's a movie made with government money, and it's all about how awesome the government is, and how great their history is, and how great the military is, and then they literally are trying to force theaters to show them in as many screens as possible to try to get as many people to see them as possible. We're just one step behind back. Slightly, we're just better at it, I guess, because we're not doing it so hard or so heavy-handed. But it's there, and it's bad. Keep an eye out open for it, people. That was your warning. Warning shot. Pew, pew, pew. All right. I hear someone knocking at the door. I'm not sure what it is. And there's also the sound of a van, engine rumbling. I don't know why they don't shut it off. That's strange. But I'm going to go see what's going on out there. You guys, be cool to each other. And again, be aware of your entertainment. Oh my God. What was that? All right, I got to go.
A PFT Media production.